Thank you very much, and again, a very, very warm welcome to everyone here. And a lot of our folks are away on holidays, and it's lovely to have visitors with us as well to swell up the ranks. And so thank you very much for all visitors coming this morning, and we welcome you warmly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us pray before we look at God's word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you that we can have it here open before us, and we can study it and read it together and listen to what you have to say. Father God, we thank you for all your beauty. Thank you for the beauty of Jesus. And we ask that that beauty could be seen in us, that we would reflect some of that amazing beauty, even though it may be a poor reflection. Help us, Lord, to reflect you to others around us, we pray. Help us now as we look at your word, Father God, and thank you for your love and goodness to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're back into Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, and looking at the Beatitudes, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 12, just to familiarize ourselves with the passage, Matthew chapter 5, and starting at verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Ending there at verse 12. In God's word, Matthew chapter 5. And this morning, we come to the fifth beatitude, found here in Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And reminding us of the first four beatitudes we have already considered over the previous Sundays. Blessed are the poor in spirit, number one, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Two, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Three, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And now we're on to Beatitude number five. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And I'd like just to consider this morning two things. Firstly, mercy is the character of God. And secondly, mercy is God's calling to us. So firstly, mercy is the character of God. Our God is a God characterized by mercy. It is one of his many attributes. He is a God of mercy. God shows us perfect mercy, his mercy. Many times in the Old Testament we read of God's mercy, and so often as a description of God's character. Mercy is one of God's fundamental attributes. In the Old Testament, God's love and mercy are used interchangeably, showing compassion to those in need, regardless of their deserving of it. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 tells us, The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. These attributes of God being gracious, merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love are mentioned seven times in the Old Testament. Also in Nehemiah, the Psalms, Jonah and Joel, our God is a merciful God. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 tells us, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commands." Psalms, David writes in Psalm 25:10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies, And in Psalm 86:15, David writes, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." And the prophet Micah writes in Micah 7:18-19, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Our God has always been a God of mercy. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still is a God of mercy. What about mercy and us? Well, the Old Testament tells us how God expects us to behave in respect to mercy. Micah 6 verse 8 tells us, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." And Hosea 6 verse 6 we read, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." I desire mercy, not sacrifice. In Matthew, the Lord Jesus quoted these verses from Hosea twice when addressing the religious leaders of his day. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." In Matthew 9:11-13, the Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus overheard this question and replied to the Pharisees, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And Jesus again addresses the Pharisees using the same quotation from Hosea in Matthew 12, verse 7, when they complained about the disciples when they were hungry and they started picking some heads of grain and eating them on the Sabbath. Being merciful didn't seem to be in the Pharisees' vocabulary. But before we go any further, let's consider what this word merciful and mercy, what does it mean? There are two words used in the Bible that are alike, but that we can get mixed up in their meanings. They are grace and mercy. Let's look at the definition of these two important words. The word grace, it's not a prayer before meals in the Bible. It's grace is getting what we don't deserve. God's amazing grace, getting what we don't deserve. And that the other word then that we're considering this morning, mercy. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Ephesians 2:8, Paul writes, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is something we don't deserve. It is God's unmerited favor to us. It is undeserved. It is not earned. As sinful, rebellious people, we deserve death, separation from God. As Romans 6:23 puts it, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." That's grace. Getting what we don't deserve. Getting that gift of God, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternity spent in God's presence rather than being separated from God for all eternity. Grace. All because of Calvary and what Jesus did for us on the cross. God's riches at Christ's expense is an acrostic that helps us remember God's grace shown to us. It cost us nothing, but it cost Jesus so much. Jesus paid it all, as the hymn puts it. And then we come to mercy. Well, that's the word we're considering today. Mercy means not getting what we do deserve. Back to that verse in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. We deserve separation from God. But in God's mercy, through the finished work of Jesus on the cross, by God's mercy, we don't receive death, that eternal separation from God, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So grace, getting what we don't deserve, that's receiving eternal life with God. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve, that is not receiving eternal separation from God. Titus 3, 6, or 4 and 7, we have these two words used. Paul writes, "But when the kindness and love of God, the Father, our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit," it's the Spirit, "whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, the Son, our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." As the hymn puts it, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God, gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." Again, in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, we see mercy and grace used. Paul writes, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, not giving us what we do deserve, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace, getting what we don't deserve, you have been saved. Our loving Heavenly Father has shown mercy to us." So we move on then to mercy is God's calling to us. So now we have this understanding of God's mercy, and how does that apply to us in this beatitude? "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." How does this challenge the view of society and the world around us? Isn't it a good thing to show mercy? Well, the worldview so often is, don't get mad, get even. When people do something wrong to us, how do we react? Do we forgive them, or do we look to get even with them? Or do we just write them off and have nothing to do with them? Say someone is caught up in a sin and keeps sinning. Do we have the attitude they're only getting what they deserve? Do we deny that mercy is a quality to be envied? Are we merciful? The Christian lives differently and follows the Lord's teaching. As in the other Beatitudes, when Jesus' teaching turns the worldview upside down, we are to be poor in spirit. We are to mourn over sin. We are to be meek. We are to long for righteousness. And we are to be merciful. Being merciful, what is that like? Often people say mercy means not being judgmental. I would never condemn anyone. What people do in their own private lives is their own business, and it doesn't concern me. Young criminals, you have to understand their background that they came from, and they can't help it. It's not their fault. It's sometimes the attitude. But once it affects us or impinges on our lives, then we are baying for justice. If someone sins against you, well, that's a different matter. People want justice, but no thoughts of mercy. Now, we as believers cannot excuse sin. We can't say that sin doesn't matter. It matters to God, and to him sin is serious. And sin has serious consequences. Sin is people's fault. We as Christians mourn over sin, whether it's our sin or the sin of others. But true mercy recognizes the reality of sin and the fact that so many of our problems come from our sinful ways of relating to one another. But true mercy doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop in recognizing the reality of sin. True mercy goes on and forgives, despite the sin committed. Christians are to be a forgiving people, a merciful people. We are to have a merciful spirit towards others because, along with having a true understanding of the world, we have a true understanding of ourselves. We ourselves are not getting what we deserve. We have received true mercy from our loving, merciful, gracious God. None of us are anywhere near perfect. Far from it, in fact. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know, but for the grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father, the judgment we truly deserve. We have done wrong and rebelled against God, and as a result deserve separation from God for eternity. But the good news of the gospel is that in Christ we have not got what we deserved. We have been shown mercy. Consider for a moment the parable of the unmerciful servant that Jesus told in Matthew 18, 23-27. Remember, a man owed his master a very large, considerable debt. Seeing his servant was unable to pay it, his master ordered that he, his wife, and his children, and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Note that. But the servant who owed the great debt fell on his knees before his master and begged him to be patient with him, and promised to pay back everything. His master took pity on the servant and cancelled the debt and set him free. He had mercy on him. Suppose the master, instead of forgiving the servant his debt, had simply said to him, "Ah, what is money? Sure, it doesn't matter. It's your fault. It's not your fault. Forget about it." That wouldn't have been mercy. It was a serious debt. See, the master first showed the servant the seriousness of his debt. That having to sell him and his wife and his family and all he owed to repay the debt. There was a big payback. And then, when the servant asked for forgiveness and time to repay the debt, his master cancelled the large debt and set him free. First, he showed him the seriousness of the debt and what he'd have to do to repay it. And then, when the servant begged him for mercy, he cancelled the large debt and set him free. Without realizing the wrongdoing, there could be no mercy. When God deals with our sin, the wages are nothing short of death. And then God provided the Lamb, who is without sin, his precious Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place on the cross and take the punishment for your sin and for my sin, so that we could be free from the judgment of sin and death. Forgiveness demands repentance. Jesus said in the start of his ministry, "Repent and be baptized." Repent means turn around. Be sorry for your sin. You and I are just like that man in the parable who had no hope whatsoever in repaying that huge debt he owed to his master. But then, as he begged his master for patience, his master had mercy on him and set him free, cancelling his great debt. And we too could never repay God the debt we owe. God's judgment for sinners is death, eternal separation from him. Hell is our destiny. We deserve this judgment. God doesn't minimize the wrong we have done. God pronounces the judgment of death, and then in his great mercy, he paid it in full, sending his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place. Our gracious God showed mercy to us, and so in this beatitude, Jesus says we must show mercy to others. As those who have been shown mercy, now we must show mercy to others. That parable of the unforgiving or unmerciful servant shows us that as well as a servant not deserving mercy, he received, the forgiven servant should have shown a similar depth of mercy to his fellow servant who only owed him a small debt, as you continue on in the parable. How often do we, yes, each one of us here this morning, refuse to have mercy on or to forgive others because we feel they don't deserve it? Look on in Matthew 18 in that parable. We each are like that unmerciful servant. We do not forgive in the same measure as we have been forgiven ourselves. We forget the amazing grace and mercy of our loving God in reaching down to save us. You know, God hasn't set any limit on his forgiveness. He doesn't exclude anyone who calls on him for mercy. We are to be like Jesus, committed to forgiveness without limits, without keeping score. We are to be merciful, forgiving, without limits. Are there those who have come to you asking forgiveness for something between you and you haven't shown mercy to them? You haven't forgiven them. What is the reward for the merciful? They will be shown mercy, or as another translation puts it, they shall receive mercy. You know, we can't earn God's mercy, as by its very nature, mercy can only be undeserved. We can only be truly merciful when we ourselves have received God's mercy. But also the merciful know that their need for God's mercy never ends. We always need God's mercy. It's easy, like the servant who owed the great debt to his master, to receive mercy. Oh yes, getting what he did not deserve, his debt fully cancelled and being set free. That was nice. Accepting his master's forgiveness. But hard for us to show mercy and forgiveness to others. Just like that man, he couldn't show mercy to the servant who owed him a small amount. Jesus didn't say, "Be merciful and earn your way into the kingdom." No, Jesus says, be merciful and know that there is mercy available for you also. Many people, however, don't want God's mercy. They want to make it by their own efforts. They want to try and pay their own great debt to God through their attempts of goodness. But this is impossible. The only way to approach God is to ask for his mercy, and he is always willing to be merciful. As those who experience God's great mercy, we should be the ones who in turn show mercy to others. Be merciful. Beatitude number 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your amazing grace and mercy shown to us through the work of your one and only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, and his work accomplished for us on the cross. We thank you for this beatitude that reminds us of your teaching, saying, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Help us, as your children, to be merciful in our dealings with others. Help us to reflect your mercy to others, we pray, as we obey your teaching and follow your example. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.